We're gathered here tonight as branches connected to the vine, Jesus Christ. And the word of God that nourishes us as we're connected to that vine is John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. You can find that on the back of the bulletin there. Jesus says in his seventh I am statement, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I'd like to take a look at this text according to seven brief points. And so if you have something to write with, you got a little bit of space on the back of your bulletin there if you'd like to follow along and take some notes. So we begin with our first point from the text, is that God wants fruit. Some of you might have had the experience this past summer of growing tomatoes out in our community garden, and if you didn't, maybe you have the experience of growing something. And if you have a tomato plant, what do you want? You want tomatoes, right? That's not too much to ask. If you buy a tomato plant and you plant it, you water it, you want tomatoes, you want fruit. Likewise, what does God want from humanity? Why did God create human beings? Well, it's because God wanted fruit, fruit of praise and worship and glory and honor to his name and love shared between his human creatures, reflecting his love. Why did God choose the nation of Israel? Well, once again, God wanted fruit, the fruit of worship from this holy nation that reflected his goodness. This fruit for us, I would say, is experienced in three ways. Thinking back to our sermon series back in January and February about up, over, and out, I would say those are the three directions in which we bear fruit. We bear fruit up in our relationship with God of worship. As we're connected to Jesus, the true vine, he pours his life into us through word and through sacrament, and so then we respond to God with the fruit of our lips, with the fruit of worship. As a community of faith, we reach over to one another in love, and the fruit that God produces in us is the fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control, etc. Those are the fruits experienced in community as we reflect God's love among one another. As we remember tonight that Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you would love one another." And then finally, we produce fruit outward. This is the fruit of the harvest, mission, evangelism, gathering in to God's family those that don't yet know him, that they might produce fruit up and over. Well, that brings us to our second point, and it's this. No fruit is not a good thing. In Isaiah chapter 5, we hear this song of the vineyard. And it goes like this. God planted a vine in the promised land. He dug it and put it into good soil and he watered it. But for some reason or another, it did not bear good fruit. And so through the prophet Isaiah, God says, "Now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall and it will be trampled because it did not bear fruit." That literally happened through Assyria and then later Babylon and the exile. At the time of John the Baptist, people gathered to hear his preaching. His message was very simple. He said, "Repent and believe the good news." And he said to those who gathered to him, he said, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." It's not enough just to say I'm a child of Abraham because of my genetics, because of who my parents were or what nation I live in or that I go to synagogue. He said, no, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And then he said this, "The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." Like I said, no fruit is not a good thing. What would you do with a tomato plant that did not produce fruit? Well, the same thing that Jesus says here in John chapter 15. He says, those branches that do not bear fruit, they wither and they die and they become dry and crunchy and they become bound up and then thrown into the fire where they are burned. That brings us to our third point. What about me? The goal of these words is first that we would have some self-reflection, that we'd look at ourselves and think, do I bear fruit? Well, immediately the answer is no, I don't. Because only what is done in Jesus is fruitful and pleasing to God. Me, by myself, you, in and of yourself, you do not produce fruit. There is not a single thing that we can do outside of Jesus that is pleasing to God. It's only what is done in Christ that is pleasing to God. Anything else is bad, stinky fruit. Point number four. A true disciple of Jesus bears fruit. Perhaps it's worth mentioning right now in the midst of basketball that when I was in middle school, the cool thing was to be a Michigan fan. Now, this is interesting because I lived in Nebraska. I don't get that. We got bored with the Huskers, maybe. Or they just weren't very good at basketball back then. But the cool thing was to be a Michigan fan. And so I went out, and guess what I bought? I bought myself a nice blue and yellow Michigan hat and Michigan shirt. And I kind of strutted around the halls of my middle school. And I thought I was pretty cool until somebody came up to me and said, "Who's your favorite player?" Okay, bye. See, I was just faking it. I was just pretending. I was just wearing the gear, but I didn't really know anything about Michigan. I didn't know any of the players. I hadn't watched any of the games. I did not produce any fruit at all. A true disciple of Jesus bears fruit, the fruit of worship, the fruit of love shared in community, the fruit of mission, reaching out to the world with the hope of the gospel. Now we have to remember that this is never perfect fruit. The true disciple of Jesus knows that there is much that is dead and dry that must be pruned away on a daily basis. In fact, the more we grow, the more we see the dead things that must be pruned away. But nevertheless, Jesus says that a true disciple of Jesus bears fruit. That he or she will have a life characterized by fruit. In verse 16, if we were to read on a little bit, Jesus says to his disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last." And in the last verse of our text, verse 8, Jesus says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself, proving yourselves to be my disciples." Point five. The true disciple of Jesus produces fruit through complete dependence upon Jesus. And this is where we get to a very important point, is that you and I, as disciples of Jesus, do not produce fruit from our own resources. Doesn't work. Like I said before, anything that's done outside of Christ is offensive to God. Paul calls the fruits of the Spirit the fruits of the Spirit and not the works of the Spirit. And it's because these fruits arise not from our resources or our efforts even, but they come through coming into contact with God's resources and not ours. It's like Paul says in Philippians 2, that it is God who works in you both to will and to do what is pleasing to him. So, going to Jesus' analogy, a branch produces fruit through communion with the vine, and only through communion with the vine, because the branch receives the life-giving sap that it needs to produce fruit through communion with the vine. Or to go back to our tomato plants, the tomato plant produces tomatoes only by its communion with air and water and sun. The plant must come into contact with the right resources. In fact, the plant owes its birth to those resources and its growth to those resources. And so a disciple of Jesus only produces fruit, fruit that is pleasing to God, through communion with, through union with Jesus Christ, the vine, of which we are branches connected to him. This is odd, and it's different from what we normally think of in terms of growth. So, I mean, with kids, the goal is that they would grow up, they would become self-sufficient, that they would eventually leave the house. So it's a good thing when kids learn how to go to the bathroom by themselves, less dependent on mom and dad. It's a good thing when kids learn how to tie their shoes or pour a bowl of cereal without pouring the whole thing over the kitchen counter. The idea here is self-sufficiency. It's good for us as human beings that we would grow up to be self-sufficient, responsible, that we can take care of things on our own without help from mom and dad or anybody else. Not so as disciples of Jesus. It's not that way. It doesn't work that way. In fact, as a disciple of Jesus, we got to grow up backwards. To be a disciple of Jesus, to grow in Him, means not to be self-reliant, but to be completely reliant upon Jesus for everything. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. Not a single good thing. For us as disciples of Jesus, we are utterly dependent upon Him. Our growth in Christ, your growth in Christ, is not to become independent, but to become completely dependent upon Jesus for everything. Sometimes we get this mixed up. We think, Jesus saves me. It's through His death and His resurrection that I am saved, but then I've got a lot of hard work to do to become a better Christian. That's not the way it works. It is through complete, utter dependency on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus that you and I are saved, justified before God. But it is also through complete, utter dependency upon Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, that you and I bear fruit and that we grow as Christians. There's not even a hint here of self-reliance. It's all dependence upon Jesus. We've got to grow up backwards, not the way that we grow up as human beings in our human relationships. Utter dependence upon Jesus. And so now we come to our sixth point. What does it mean to utterly depend upon Jesus? What does this look like? Well, dependence on Jesus means dependence on His words. So what is the soil? What is the sun? What is the air that we must come into contact with in order to bear fruit? Well, it's the Word. It's the living and active Word of God. That's what we must come into contact with. Jesus says it in verse 7. He says, if you remain in Me and My words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is why your pastors are always so concerned that, number one, you'd be in church on the regular. You know, barring illness, that you'd be here every Sunday. And number two, this is why your pastors have probably preached about 100 times to read your Bible. That we're always coming back to that. That we're utterly concerned that you would be saturated in the living and active Word of God, because it's only through communion with that Word that you bear fruit. You have no other resource to bear fruit except the living and active Word of God. God forbid that in the absence of that Word, any one of us would become like dead branches. Because as Jesus said, those branches eventually are gathered up and burned because they don't produce fruit. The final point, 7. Dependence on Jesus means dependence in prayer. When God speaks His word, as we remain in the words of Jesus, God speaks and we respond, right? God speaks to us through the Word. The words of Jesus permeate our being, and then, the result is that we respond. We speak back to God in prayer. Jesus says this in verse 8. He says, this is to My Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be My disciples. Actually, it was verse 7, sorry. If you remain in Me and My words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Now, at first glance, that seems like a free ticket kind of thing. Like, I ask for anything. Well, I know what I'm going to ask for. Well, hold on a second. Jesus says, if My words remain in you, ask for whatever you wish. It's the words of Jesus that teach us what to ask for. And the things that Jesus would have us ask for are our daily bread, our health, our provision. But before that, it's the good fruit stuff. That Jesus says, go ahead, ask for love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Ask for those things, and I guarantee that they'll be given to you. Jesus says, go ahead, ask for the salvation of the nations. Ask for the gospel to spread. Ask for the expansion of God's kingdom. Ask for worship, community, and the mission of the gospel to go out. And he says, you'll have it. So those are the things that we're emboldened to ask as we hear the words of Jesus, because those are the things that bear fruit. And so in conclusion, I can't think of a better way to end this sermon than by gathering around this table right here, just like branches around a vine. If you can imagine that cross as the vine that comes down, and here it is, where we hear the words of Jesus and receive the body and blood of Jesus, that we are connected to him like branches to a vine, that we might bear fruit. Would it be, my prayer is that our lives, if we were to look at our lives over the years and years and decades, that our lives would be characterized by being planted right here, at this place, just like a tomato plant in the soil, in the sunshine, with the water, that we would be planted right here where we consistently hear those words, my body broken for you, my blood poured out for you, because that's the only resource that we have to bear fruit. Amen.